Remember, your privacy is your responsibility. Personal information should be completely removed from your hard drives before recycling them. For information about data destruction or to find a drop-off location, visit btecycles.org or call 855-6-ECYCLE. It's easy to e-cycle.
Folks, Dan Keen here, owner of Lamoille Valley Ford. Don't miss the final days of the Find Your Way to Savings event at Lamoille Valley Ford. We know savings mean nothing without providing you with the vehicle you want, and selection means even less if the vehicle you want is not affordable. So let me tell you why August is our Find Your Way to Savings month. Right now at Lamoille Valley Ford, record inventory levels are driving huge savings no matter what new Ford car or truck you want. Our lot is overloaded with new Ford Focus, Fusions, Escapes, Explorers, and an all-time high selection of built Ford Tough F-Series trucks. And through the end of August, anyone who takes delivery of any new car, truck, or SUV in stock at Lamoille Valley Ford will receive their choice of either a bedliner installed or 2 years of scheduled maintenance. This offer is over and above all Ford factory rebates and low-rate financing, and before you deduct your trade. It's simple, folks. Saving and selection adds up to your satisfaction. So drive Route 14, 15, or 16 to Hardwick and the final days of the Find Your Way to Savings event happening now at Lamoille Valley Ford.
A moment of your time for our friends at the Vermont Coffee Company. Coffee roasted for friends. If you're looking for an excuse to pick up the phone and call a friend of yours, you know, so your, you know, sterling personality isn't enough, invite them on over for a cup of coffee. And if you like your coffee dark, you can get the nice dark roast. If you like a milder blend, they have a blend called Mild Blend. And if you're a decaffeinated coffee drinker, one of the great things about the Vermont Coffee Company coffee decaffeinated blend, it has robust flavor. Not like some of those crystals out there, or some of the other blends, which are basically watered down regular coffee. So you can count on that. Vermont Coffee Company coffee is available pretty wide variety of places, all the major co-ops, all the great independent grocery stores. And if you can't find it where you shop, you can always find it online. And you can do that by going to VermontCoffeeCompany.com. And they make it easy for you. A couple of clicks, and the product is on its way to either you or your friends and relatives out of town. All right, we go to the phone. The Department of Public Service is looking for you, as they say. And joining us live on the line this morning is Jim Porter. He's with the department. And the state's going to be taking public comment on the big 10-year telecommunications plan. And James is here to explain all the nitty-gritty details of it. Right. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning.
Can you tell us a little bit more about what your job actually is?
Well, with relation to the telecom plan, we have a statutory obligation to provide a 10-year plan, and then we do 3-year updates. And so this is the, we now have issued a draft comments version of the 10-year telecom plan, which contains a lot of historical information and then a lot of information moving forward.
All right. How would you describe the historical information? Can you sum it up for us?
Well, I think the biggest thing we see is that the traditional landline telephone business is in decline. Less and less people rely upon it. It becomes a more challenging business case to see those companies thrive. And then we see more and more need and desire for broadband and increased speeds.
All right. Are those two, how do those two interconnect?
Well, they interconnect in a couple of ways. Many of the providers that people receive their telephone service through, they also receive broadband service. At the national level, what we've seen, which is a big change, was in 2011, the FCC issued an order whereby for some 30 years, every telephone customer had a surcharge on their bill, and what it paid for was to ensure that the rural areas would receive parity in their telephone service. In 2011, the FCC redirected that money toward broadband. So we're seeing, you know, the telephone companies are seeing a loss of support for their voice service, while the federal government is now directing that money toward rural broadband build-up.
Wow. So has that had any effect in Vermont out in the rural areas?
Well, it certainly had an effect on the telephone provider, the traditional telephone providers who I think relied on that money for their voice support. The, I guess, exciting thing about it now is that hopefully we will see more investment from the USF fund into broadband build-out.
Okay. So how does that help people out in the hinterlands? Are they going to get their phone service somehow through that, or what? What's the thinking on that?
Well, they'll continue to get their phone service, but what we'll see, and the feds established something called the Connect America Fund, which is this broadband build-out program. And phase two is currently, the rules are sort of being implemented by the FCC. And by the end of the year, the rules will be directed. And what they will do is they will provide funding with the right of first refusal being given to the incumbent local exchange carrier, which in this case will be Fairpoint. Mm-hmm. And there will be some $45 to $50 million available that company will be able to use for broadband build out to unserved areas at a speed of either 4.1, or it looks like the FCC may bump that speed up to 10.1.
All right, what does that mean?
Well, it means just a faster service. What we see with broadband, I think about 77% of the residences in Vermont have a speed of about 4.1. In the more rural areas, many people through DSL are still receiving what is certainly used to be called basic broadband, which is a much slower speed. And I think where consumers see it the most is maybe with streaming video. You need a higher speed for that. And for other of those type purposes.
Okay. We're talking with Jim Porter. He's with the Department of Public Service. You can join us at 244-1777 is our local number. Toll-free 877-291-8255. How significant has the decline been in landlines?
I guess Fairpoint purchased the old Verizon property in northern New England. I guess that was completed in 2009. And since that time, they have lost over half of their landline business. We still see that company losing roughly 7% of its landlines each year. And that's a national trend with all of the traditional landlines losing customers. I think it may be a little more exacerbated in northern New England.
Wow. I mean, I knew there was a decline, but that's incredible.
Yeah, it's a big decline. We have many other providers, though. The cable companies now provide telephone service. Many people avail themselves of that. And even in Vermont, many households are going wireless only.
Right, right. All right, and so in terms of Internet service, what are you looking for from the public in terms of this public comment period here?
Well, we've just completed a survey, an updated survey that will be included. And what we're trying to look at really from the residential perspective is what type Internet service does the consumer think they need, and frankly, what are they willing to pay for it? And one thing that we see time and time again, which I think is typical of many Vermonters, is they're very conscious of the cost and what it's going to cost them.
Okay. So, meaning what?
Well, meaning that I think we've had some instances where a customer has had the availability of, say, a basic DSL product from the phone company or maybe a fiber product, which offers vastly superior speeds. However, many people will still trend toward the lower-priced product with a lesser speed.
Okay. And is that okay? Is that a good thing or not?
Well, I guess it's a... Obviously, affordability is something that we're very interested in. We've noticed that higher-income families tend to have more broadband in their homes. Lower-income people do not have as much. So affordability is a problem, and it's one that we're very cognizant of. Unfortunately, unlike basic telephone service, which we can still regulate, a rate, we don't have the ability to regulate the rates of Internet service.
Mm-hmm. This goal of having this state 100% covered, I mean, where are things with that, and is that still an even achievable goal?
Well, I think the goal was achieved. I think that by the end of 2013, every address in the state either had access to broadband or there was a funded solution in place. Now, we have two kind of large projects that are still in the build-out phase, but every E911 address in Vermont currently has a provider who has received money and will be building broadband to that address. So I do think that the ubiquitous coverage was met, and so I think where we go now is to increasing the speeds, particularly in the more rural areas.
Okay. But then you get back to this dilemma that you've got, that you want to see people have access to greater capacity, but they don't necessarily want to pay for it. So how do you marry those two?
Well, it's a difficult piece to deal with. I think a lot of the you know, people look at their need for broadband, and it's very age specific. Elderly people tend to, according to our survey, not believe they have as much need for broadband. While the younger you are, it's, you know, an essential.
Boy, how did I already know the answer to that question?
Well, right. When your children go to college these days, they're not interested in, well, they don't know what a landline phone is, basically. They want the internet connection is what they're waiting for, whereas when I was in college, it was waiting for the phone company to come install the telephone line.
Yeah, there you go. So what do you do? Do you just provide the service that people want? Do you provide the full capacity? So how do you, as a public policy person, deal with this?
Well, I think as a public policy, what we're going to have to determine is, you know, I'm probably a believer now that broadband is as essential a service as telephone service certainly used to be, or electricity is. And so I think when you, the question is going to be, from an investment perspective, is what is the minimum service that we have an obligation to see that every citizen has?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I think that debate will be ongoing.
But we're not there yet? We're not at that minimum yet? Or we're debating the minimum? What are you saying?
Well, I think that speed and capacity, and I'm going to go again to, I'm going to use my child as an example. You know, every month my child overruns the data that I purchased through her cell phone package. And so I think more and more we're going to be reliant upon higher speeds and the ability to have more data. And so I think we need to be prepared for that as the need catches up to it.
Okay. What do you, Jim, actually hope to accomplish when you have a 3-day comment period in August? I mean, how do people participate in this, and what do you really anticipate expecting to get?
Well, I don't know what you mean by a 3-day comment period. We have issued the draft plan on our website. We're doing 4 public hearings around the state this week. And we'll be having another hearing next week. And then we also invite people to submit comments to us via email or via mail. So we're very interested in hearing, you know, from the public on what their concerns are and what they see as their individual needs.
All right. I apologize. I think I only saw that there were public hearings.
There are public hearings this week, and then there will be next week, and certainly we will continue to take comments.
Okay. So what are you expecting to hear at these public hearings? People are going to come in and talk about what?
Well, we had our first one last night, and, you know, there are some people who are very interested in fiber. Another thing that's come up, I think, with this plan is in the cable television world. And as you know, public access programming is funded through receipts on cable television services. What we've seen, I think, from 2009 until 2012 is we're seeing a reduction in cable subscribers. We have a lot of satellite subscribers in Vermont, and more people are getting their video content over the internet. And so the public access providers who rely upon the proceeds, you know, they're seeing or just beginning to see, I think, those proceeds diminish. And I think that will continue into the future. And it sort of is coincidental with, you know, issues we have with regulating services that at the moment are really beyond our reach. So we've heard from the public access providers about their concern, and that's been another interesting piece.
So you're not able to get access to revenue the way you can with the cable companies from the internet service providers?
We can't today. But, you know, we see many people who actually get their public access content over the internet and through the television. So that's something else that we're going to have to deal with. You know, much like I think the ability to regulate broadband, and at some point, you know, it's really good. At the state level, we're able to regulate essentially what the federal regulators say we can regulate, and I think we're a little behind the curve right now. I'm not sure the laws have caught up with the technology.
Well, and the feds are really confused on this, too. The FCC can't figure out whether or not internet service providers are, you know, a floor wax or a dessert topping.
I would tend to agree with you there. and I hope that we will see some clarity. I know that we certainly spend a good deal of time working with our federal delegation, all of whom are very interested in this issue. And I think they're going to be very helpful to us going forward as well.
Is broadband considered, do you look at affordability? I mean, is broadband affordable to Vermonters today?
I think it's affordable to many Vermonters. And I think that we see that our communications budgets in our households probably continue to go up. We have some programs that, you know, some companies provide a low-income alternative. There's a cable provider that provides a package for low-income people that is about $10 a month, and they have a program where you can buy a laptop computer at a discounted rate. We have a large fixed wireless broadband project that's being built out right now with VTEL. They will also have a product available for low income. So there are companies that do that, and we laud them for that, but we would certainly like to see more of that.
Let's go to Marshfield. Bob, good morning.
Good morning. I'm hoping this presents me with an opportunity to understand the issue between TV and internet as far as broadband goes via satellite. I'm a Dish customer, and I have one receiver on my house for TV, and I have one receiver on my house for internet. Now, the TV side, whatever I pay, maybe $40 a month, I get this incredible broadband. I can leave that on all day and watch videos streaming 24/7, and it still only costs me the $40 a month. But when I go to the internet side, DishNet, all of a sudden that same broadband, the ability to watch a particular movie or TV show, is way more expensive and limited, and I don't understand why.
All right. Good question. Thanks.
That is a good question, and certainly for the last few years, we have not considered satellite broadband as an alternative. The problem you have with satellite is latency, which, you know, there is a time lag in between the transmission, and it, as you just said, creates problems with being able to stream video. There's a new generation of satellite that has just come on the market, and actually in the state we are doing some very limited testing to see if in fact it is better, and we still don't know yet. But you bring up a very good point. Satellite broadband tends to be expensive, and there are currently, in my opinion, problems with latency.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so it's the fact that the latency is in regards to it sent out signals as well?
Well, correct. It's got to send a signal up and then back to you, and so yeah.
Yeah, oh, that's good. I'm glad I called because I was always curious about that. Yeah.
Okay, so help me here. When we're talking about latency, are you talking about like basically a delay?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. There's a little delay, sometimes more than others. In the way the signal transmits, which can be certainly problematic when you're trying to watch video.
Yeah. Bob, thanks for your call. Yeah, it can be kind of annoying. Yeah, something like that. So, Jim, how do people make written comments on this if they can't go to these public hearings, and how do they find out where the public hearings are?
Well, I can tell you, we have one tonight in Brattleboro, at the Hampton Inn, and then on Wednesday night we're going to be in Barrie at Alumni Hall at the auditorium, and then on Thursday night we're going to be in Rutland at the Hampton Inn. Next Thursday we're going to be in St. John's Barrie at the Catamount Arts Center. All of these hearings start at 7 p.m. And then this Thursday morning from 10 to 12, there's going to be a hearing before a joint legislative committee that people are more than welcome to come and express their comments there. You can submit written comments to the Department of Public Service. Our address is 112 State Street in Montpelier, 05620. Or you can also email comments to us at psd.telecom@state.vt.us.
One more time on that zip code, 05602, right?
05620.
20?
I'm sorry, for the state buildings, yes.
Okay, all right, sorry. All right. Jim Porter is with the Department of Public Service, and then you're going to do what with these comments? You're going to roll them into the plan, or what are you going to do with them?
Well, we compile the comments that we receive, and they're publicly available, and this is our comments draft, so depending upon the comments we receive, you know, we may make changes to the plan or refinements to the plan. Actually, someone last night had just found a clear error in something we had written. So it's very helpful from us, you know, for us to hear from people and what their concerns are.
You're going to be asking the legislature to do anything?
I think at this point, this past year, the legislature established for the first time a connectivity fund. Vermont has had a universal service fund, I think, since 1997, but there was never a need to actually activate it for high-cost service. And this year, the legislature has created the mechanism by which any provider of broadband can come in and bid on the money that's available for projects. At this point, we have, and I think I mentioned them earlier, VTEL currently has a huge broadband project that's in the construction phase, and we think it will be completed sometime early next year, and so we would like to see how that project builds out and how many people are actually covered by that project and get acceptable speeds. And then the other piece we want to look at is, as I mentioned earlier, the CAF II money, which will become available in Vermont probably in December, and we would like to see whether the companies avail themselves of that money and where they build out. And I think once we know what those two projects in progress are going to bring, that for, at that point, I think we'll be able to make any recommendations to the legislature that may need to be made. One thing that has been, as part of ERA funding, we established what I think is probably the best mapping in the country. We're very lucky in that we're able to use our E911 database. And so every 6 months, every broadband provider in the state sends us by address where they're providing broadband and at what speed they're providing it. So the federal money is about to run out for that mapping initiative, but we intend to keep doing it at the state level. And I think that's been very helpful in being able to target the areas where we most need to go.
Mm-hmm. And the VTEL projects, there's one down in Springfield?
Well, now, there's actually two VGL projects. One is a wireless broadband project. We refer to it as the WOW project, the Wide Open World. And then VGL also, as you know, they're a local incumbent. Well, they're an incumbent local exchange carrier, and they have a fixed service territory as a phone company.
Yeah.
They received a large amount of federal funding, and they have actually built fiber to the home to all of their customers. And so, and that's our first telephone company that's been able to do that.
Okay. So where are the two projects?
The fiber to the home project is completed, and VTEL has started turning up sites about a month or so ago. I think their first site was up in Hardwick, and you know, their product provides incredible speeds, certainly to certain people. But with wireless, you know, sometimes wireless is more of an art than a science, and so you really don't know what people will receive in the way of speed and coverage until it's actually operational.
Right, especially if your daughter's, you know, gone over a plan and is watching Netflix and draining enough of everybody else.
That's right.
Yeah. Thank you for your time this morning. I appreciate it very much.
No, thank you.
Jim Porter's with the Department of Public Service. We're talking about the 10-year telecommunications plan, which they are revising and is apparently a work in progress, and they'd love to get some of your comments. It sounds like the Wednesday night in Barrie might be your best location right around here. I'll get you that information as we go along as well, too. Maybe you have a comment or two on what's going on in your community, in your home, and your internet world. You can reach us at 244-1777 is our local number. Toll-free 877-291-8255. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back right after this.
Folks, Dan Keene here, owner of LaMoille Valley Ford. Don't miss the final day.